wasn't going to get here on time, so I wanted to call you, but in the end, I found a way through.
Start your day, the Torah, Rabbi Benjamin Simmons.
So? No. Sorry. Okay, good morning, everybody. Okay, so I'm going to share with you this morning a topic which has been sort of swirling around for a bit now, a couple of years, which I was last week in the Conference of European Rabbis in Antwerp, and we heard a share from Rabbi Osher Weiss, very famous Pesach, on this topic. Others have written about it, and I've got some possibly my thoughts as well. So whilst I'm here, everything is today is for discussion purposes only. None of this is meant to be halacha, pasuka, which of course in the end there'll have to be a halacha pasuka. So the subject that we're discussing is the is something called stem cell or cultured meat. So cultured meat is basically, I put on there on the front of the sheet which has been handed round. First of all, this was announced about three to four years ago, which basically is an extract there from a newspaper. It's a lab-grown burger from bovine stem cells. They're stating it could be on sale within 5 years. That was in that period. And it's been developed by a few places in the world. Maastricht University, there's a place in the UK also, and in Israel, where they are developing this idea of cultured meat. So it's not artificial meat. It's not meat in the sense of meat from like Tivel or anything like that, vegetarian. That is all artificial. Vegetarian, that's not really meat at all. This is not that in any shape or form. What this is actually meat which is taken by growing the stem cells from real live animals, and from those producing meat. So stem cell research is at the forefront of massive areas of medical research today. It's hopefully, it's a shame, opening the doors to many, many cures which are going to take place for very serious illnesses and very serious long-term conditions, and also in even pre-birth, by using the stem cells, which are the core of human life, and effectively extracting them and carrying out certain processes with those stem cells, you can then do fantastic, amazing things which are going on. They're already being used and developing various forms of medical treatment and further forms which will be taken forward in the future. So somebody had the idea of creating, can we create meat by the same process? Now, the advantages, there are tremendous advantages to this, if it can be done. First of all, the whole issue of animal welfare, which of course is a current issue, will be substantially assisted if this was to become a widespread product. The second issue is the climate issue as well. At the moment, we cannot produce enough meat. They cannot produce enough meat, and a lot of it is produced in a way which causes, whether you hold of this or don't hold of it, but I'm just stating the standard view, the climate, damage to the climate through all the processes that are involved in water and food and all the things that have to be done to make animals grow so that we can have meat in the massive scale that they are. For example, in America, the industry is enormous and it's expanding and they can't produce enough for everyone that everyone wants. And every time there's an advance in production in that way, it causes some issue in relation to the climate, in relation to the environment and so on. This would avoid all of that problem. And then, sorry? Well, we'll come to it. We'll come to the halakha in a minute, so I understand the actual background to it, understand what it's all about. And the third advantage, which may be very important to us as Jewish people, is that, of course, the issue of Shechita. The issue of Shechita in Europe is one of the reasons why the conference was in Antwerp this time, was it's a biannual conference, was because they have now a ban on Shechita in Antwerp. In Flanders, there's a ban, in several other European countries. This is an issue. Okay, obviously, if this was to meat was to produce in this way, then this would obviously avoid that whole problem. It doesn't mean they're not having meat in Antwerp, by the way. There was plenty of it. But they have to bring it in from different places, and Schacht and whatever. And it's, there are big and wide issues in relation to that. But this would be one way of dealing with it. And if we could produce meat on a large scale without having to Schacht the animal, that would make a whole difference to this whole process. So the fractional numbers of what's involved in producing this, at the moment, the expense is very high, like anything in its productive, in its developmental stage. But that once it gets off the road, gets on the road, then obviously those costs will be somewhat, pardon the expression, will be met or meet. They'll be able to meet those costs by the growth in the expansion of the market and so on. So let's get to the meat of the subject, as it were, and try and understand what actually happens. So what happens is that they extract, the simple process is to take muscle cells from a living cow. Let's just deal with cows at the moment. Scientists then grow those cells. All cells can be grown, can be provided with nutrition, protein, which makes the cell grow, and then they can then grow a piece of meat from it. And through a process in a lab, and eventually in a factory, they'll be able to do so. They can do so already. It already has been done. That's the fact. It is now, has already been done successfully. If anybody wants to ask me afterwards, I can send them a video which is showing the exact process of how it's made. So you can do it. It can be done. The question is, how viable is it, and what's going to be the consequences? One of the issues why it's not actually reached the market yet is because there is an issue which is parallel to the issue of, in halacha, the difficulties that this presents in halacha, which is the regulatory issue. In all the Western countries, there's a regulatory issue. How do they define this? What are the safety standards which will have to be imposed, etc., etc.? And they've got the same kind of problem as well in that way. But the halakhic problems are very, very difficult. Rav Osher Weiss, when I wrote down what he said when he introduced his thoughts on the subject, he explained that he felt that we have, in our day, a number of halakhic problems which are unparalleled. And we don't, as he said himself beautifully, v'ein lanu harashba b'haramban. We don't have the Rishonim who can set out those principles in a way which could have been imagined even 25 years ago. The halakhic difficulties, not just in this area, but in other areas as well, we have to deal with, which are so different, they are so rapidly growing, so quickly, that we don't have a chance to even contemplate the going back to the sources and the earlier poskim. And he said the following words, "V'ein onu mushachrorim milasos tshuvos." He said, but we cannot exempt ourselves from giving answers to the questions. "Ha'im ha'toitsefa ha'sofis domel makoro." Can we find the answer in this particular question? Is the end outcome similar to its source or not? And he spoke for a few minutes about this concept that we have a responsibility because of the fact that we live in the world as it is, and it is going to be potentially a large issue. We have to deal with it. We can't just say no because we can't do it because we don't understand why. So he said that each generation have to look at it, and notwithstanding the difficulties and that and many other halakhic problems today, he's prepared, as are others, to, so to speak, stretch their necks out in order to be able to find some conclusion, although he stressed that all his conclusions at this moment were preliminary only and not definitive. So is there a parallel? Is there any kind of parallel to this idea? It is a form of creation. What we're doing is a form of creation. We are entering into the world of creation when we're doing this type of thing. And if you look on the source sheet, those of you who have them, that there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin there, which is a quite famous Gemara. So the story of Rav Shimon bar Chalafta was walking on his way, and he was encountered by some lions who were very threatening towards him. He said a pasuk, "Hakfirim shogim latoref," etc. And it's a bit like Lakelev, Mechomnei Yisrael, Loyachretz Kelev Roshoni. He understood that the lions were going to attack him because they were hungry. So he said a tefillah, and a miracle happened. Two pieces of meat came from Shemayim. The lions ate one of them, and he then was left with one on the ground. They went away. Lions don't normally attack for no reason. They attacked because they were going to attack because they were hungry. So he sorted out their hunger through this nace, and he took the other piece of meat. He took it to the base of Medrash, and he said, "Is this thigh of the animal, is it kosher or not kosher?" So the Chachamim said to him, "It must be kosher, because since it came from Shemayim, then it must be kosher." That was the conclusion. And then the Reb Zera asked on the same point. In that case, if you're going to say that, then what happens if it was actually something where we could see it was a donkey? It was something trade. Would that be kosher then because it came from Shemayim? And he said, yes. The sages already said to him that a non-kosher animal does not descend from heaven, therefore it must be kosher. So you've got a concept. We've got an idea of something coming in, coming from a different place where it normally occurs. A piece of meat comes from one place, as we've always understood it throughout history. Now we've got a concept of a piece of meat coming from a different place, and it can be kosher. Absolutely different. It is, of course, it's different.
Just this
is great. Sure, absolutely different. Okay, we're coming to it, but just the idea that you could have a piece of meat which you're going to. Using my family connections, going to Shefa Mahadrin and buy a piece of meat there, that's always been, for thousands of years, come from a cow or a sheep or whatever, right? But now we've got a concept here in the Gemara of a piece of meat coming from somewhere else. Okay, and then there's also a very interesting story in the Gemara where it was created through Sefer HaYetzirah. They're the two Amoraim who had no food on Shabbos, and they learnt Sefer HaYetzirah and they created food of their own. There's also a very interesting, if you look on page 3 at the top, there's a very interesting Malbim. The Malbim in Parashas Vayera, the famous question about how Avram could give the meat to the milk to the Malachim by Imaila. Sorry. So the Malbim quotes Chazal. He quotes a Chazal. V'yesh leChazal sheben habaka rots mivni Avram. Avram bara acher al pi sefer Yitzira. He used the sefer Yitzira. He actually made it, not prepare it. He made it. Why he could have basar v'chalav? Because it wasn't meat in the sense, and that could be relevant to this question. Okay, so that's a very interesting source. By the way, when he was speaking about the Gemara in Rav Asher Weiss, when he was speaking about the Gemara in Sanhedrin, so he said the question of the Sefer Yetzirah, the second Gemara, he said that's famously what the Maharal used to create the Golem. And that story, of course, is discussed. Did that story take place or not? So he said, just side by side, Derech Agav, he said he's not sure that it did. He said, you know why? Because it's not mentioned in any other contemporary forum. At the time of the Maharal, nobody else mentions it contemporary. If it was such a thing had happened, he feels though it could be. He didn't say it didn't, but he said he felt that the idea that he made this person say for goat seems to be difficult because it wasn't mentioned by anybody else. Just a point. Okay, so the starting point in the question. So basically there are a few questions that we have to deal with in this. And the four questions, we might not get through all of them today, but the first one is if a stem cell is taken from a non-kosher animal, okay, would the meat be produced, would that meat also be non-kosher? That's question number one, okay? Question number two, what happens if it was taken from an avela, an animal which is an avela, that means killed without proper shechita, would that be kosher or not kosher? And that could be very important. That question could be very important, okay? Thirdly, is it a question of eva menachai or basa menachai? And fourthly, and perhaps relevant to some people, if it was taken from a fully kosher animal, then is it milk, is it meat, or is it para? That's another question, okay? A different question. So you could start off. Sorry. Why? Because it's something completely different. You'll see. So you know, we'll see. Well, if we might not get to it all, but just refer you to the question of gelatine. Okay, there's a famous machlokas which has been rumbling on for over 100 years about what's the status of gelatine. Okay, we'll come to it. Okay, and it may be that's directly relevant to this point. Okay, so by the way, anybody who came in there, I'm just stressing that I'm not ruling any halacha here. This is just a discussion. I'm just introducing the topic. There's great people that eventually are going to Rav Asher Weiss and the other gedolim will have to issue a psak halacha over this at some point. And there may be different, in the end, there may be different opinions. I don't know. Different opinions. Okay, so, sorry, there will be. Yeah. I'm sure there will be. Okay, but it's going to be. So, let's deal with the first question. What about where it comes from? The source of where it comes from. So, there's a very famous Mishnah, Bechoros, which is Bechoros on page 2, which is the starting point for all of these discussions. Okay? Parash, Yodok, Min, Chamar, etc. And then it says, in the middle of that Mishnah, it says, Behemot, Harash, Yodok, Min, Behemot, Tmea, Mutter, Ba'achila, or Tmea, Yodok, Min, Behemot, Tahara, Osa, Ba'achila, Shayot, Tmea, Tomei, Tomei, Ba'ayot, Tmea, Tahar, Tahar. That seems to be a very important starting point for this discussion. What comes out of a non-kosher animal is not kosher. What comes out of a kosher animal is kosher. It's straightforward. It seems to be straightforward. So therefore, if you take stem cells from the cow and you create meat with them, then they seem to be kosher. But there might be a distinction, okay, as we'll see. It may be different. You're not eating the stem cells, okay? You're growing something. Remember what we said at the beginning? You're growing something from the stem cells, okay? So that might be the difference to what you were saying before, okay? Is it the same thing? Because you're not. If you wanted to eat stem cells, this Gemara is speaking about things like milk, okay? We know that milk coming from a pig is not kosher. Milk coming from a cow is kosher, okay? Yotzei, that's yotzei, okay? So let's go a little bit further with this, right? And see how that developed, how the idea develops. In fact, what we'll do is let's bring in the gelatin debate now, because it's very, very relevant to this question. So what is gelatin? You all heard of gelatin. You won't be able to have your sweets, most of your sweets, and lots of other things like that, which is which we have today, okay? And this is a product which is based from, it comes from the bones. It's the collagen, which is a chemical ingredient in bones, on the skin of animals. It's converted into a chemical by soaking in hydrochloric acid. And then it is soaked in lime, and then washed off in sulfuric acid. And that produces something called gelatin, which is, as I say, a very important part of many foods that we buy. So it came around about over 100 years ago. Okay, and originally, Chaim Isaac Grudzinski permitted gelatin made using hard cow bones. Okay, it didn't have to come from a kosher cow. He permitted it. And Rav Avadi Yosef also, much later on, he also permitted it. But in the 1950s and 60s, when the whole thing took off big time, when production, especially in America and Western Europe, many gadolim came along and said, no, it's not permitted. Okay, gelatin is not permitted. Aaron Kotler, Rabbi Eliezer Silver, Moshe Feinstein, Rav Henkin unequivocally prohibited gelatin. Okay, and that's on page 4 of the sheet, unless it is derived from properly shechted animals. Okay, so in Israel they have this process where they designate it. He says kosher la'ochle gelatin, you know, like kosher la'ochle kitnius. Yeah, so it's the same kind of thing. They have that heksha with that qualification, right? So those who eat it, those who don't eat it, those who don't eat it and have to have an alternative product, that's what they use. They use something else instead, but it's not as good and not as economical and convenient to use it. So it says a prophet hidden to hear that no Mahadrin Kashrus agency or Badatz usually allows. I don't think anybody in the UK allows non-kosher allows natural gelatin to be used. Okay, so if you can compare it with gelatin, then the halachic status of stem cell meat would depend very much on that. It seems to be the same kind of thing. It's yotzei, right? It's a yotzei, okay? And therefore, it would seem to follow that view, and therefore, the restrictions would apply. The restrictions would apply. So it has to come from a kosher animal. Would it have to be shechted? Would the animal have to be shechted? That's unclear. Unclear. Why should it have to be shechted? Right? You're not taking it. If it's done the din of yotzei, then you're not killing the animal. You don't need to kill the animal in order to extract the stem cells. What you're looking at is the status of the stem cells, which have now come from the animal, and now you're looking what are those status of them? Are they kosher or not kosher? And is what comes from them kosher? So in the gelatin, what comes from the bones of the animal is taken away, put through a process. It's still got the din of yotzei. We class it like the animal. And that's how it has to be. Now, in that case, you can't do it without killing the animal. Okay, gelatin at the moment certainly can't be produced without killing the animal. Therefore, killing the animal is a relevant issue. In this case, in our process, it's not relevant. Killing the animal is not necessary. So the question of shechita is really not the same question at all. Sorry? We'll come to Eivim Melechai. Not necessarily. I'll come to that in a minute. Okay, the Eivim Melechai is another question, right? There's four separate questions, okay? And as I say, they're all being thought about. Okay, so... What? No, Dolly the sheep was to produce the sheep, not to produce meat, stem cell meat. The idea of the heat cell, that was 1996, 1997, they produced sheep from cells, right? Producing a test tube sheep, effectively. But that was to produce the sheep, not to produce meat. The whole idea of this, I explained at the beginning, was the whole idea of this is that this will avoid the need to have herds of thousands and thousands of cows. Because if this was to take off and it was to be real meat, and treated meal, then you would be able to produce it in factories without having without having to have all these cows eating grass and giving off all sorts of emissions and causing lots of damage and so on. Okay? You're a meat eater?
Yeah.
Of course. I knew the answer to the question, don't worry. What? You don't believe in
breakfast.
You don't believe, you won't want breakfast after this, believe me. Sorry. Oh, so, all right, so Kevin, is it, sorry? Oh, so this is one. This is wasn't dealt with Baruch Rosh Hashanah. I was thinking, I think these are machshavas that I've got. The question of a bracha, okay? The question of whether it be yotz of the mitzvahs with it is a very interesting question. But I think it follows. I think that if you take the view that this is actually considered to be meat in all other respects, right? Sorry? Then you should be able to. I don't see why you shouldn't be able to fulfill the mitzvah with it. Because the whole idea is then somebody will come along and say, I know the next question will be, are you allowed to have it during the 9 days? Okay? And that will, of course, be, if you're in downtown New York, that's a big question. Okay? So you have make a serum, yeah, okay.
Stem cell
serum, yeah. But I think the answer must, to a large extent, be connected. It must, the answer eventually has to be connected. You couldn't have it, it would be a serum, but it's out of the sastra. Right? It's out of the sastra. Sorry? You can't, because that's a good question. One of my students asked that question. It's not true, because aim of Athanis Lechatzkhila, you couldn't do Lechatzkhila. Okay, let's get back to the pasture and have a look at this, look at the other point. Okay, so... Sorry? So, according to this, it would need Shechita. If you compare it to the gelatine argument, then it would need Shechita. Yeah. Okay? Another interesting outcome of this machlokes is... Sorry? No, if the one line of argument will be, you would need Shechita. There's another line of argument which says, even if it is, you've got to have it from a kosher animal, but it still doesn't need Shechita. Because you're not killing the animal, you're not ending the animal's life. I'll tell you what he said in the end, I mean, you're not going to get through all this, but he said in the end, his last words on the Shechita question, whether this is what he said, others... I was discussing it with other people, but he said he thinks it's royal shechita. He didn't say it's you have to make shechita, it's royal shechita. That was his last word on that for the moment, okay? Sorry, it's like the Ben Pekor, yeah. Yeah, okay. So let's just carry on, let's just try and get back onto the track, okay? So, look at the bottom of page 4. So another interesting machlokes comes from that. Even amongst the mainstream ruling, there are still differences between the opinions. For example, Ramosha held that real kosher gelatin is made from shechted cows is completely paraf. Okay? And Reb Aaron Kotler was of the opinion, lechatzchila, one should still consider it fleishik, but not mix it with milk. Okay? If we use gelatin as this, as the basis for this, the same would apply to here. According to Reb Moshe, it would be paraf. According to Reb Aaron Kotler, it would be not. It would be considered to be meaty. Okay? So what is Reb Aaron Kotler's view? So I just want to go into this. A very, very interesting thing, what he spoke about. Okay? So it comes from, there's a Rambam. It basically comes from a Rambam, and there's also a fascinating Reb Chaim, which speaks about this as well. There's more lomdus involved. But this is a summary of it. Okay? On top of page 5. Reb Aaron Kotler explains that the skin, bones, sinews, and horns and hooves of a forbidden animal are treated differently from its meat. Although the former parts are forbidden for consumption, okay, they are still considered forbidden only due to their status of yotzei min ha'asa, okay, and not to be taken on the full status of something which is forbidden in the sense of the meat of the animal. The difference we see clearly in the Rambam, there's a difference that a person would not get malchus if he ate the basar of something which was not kosher with hasra and so on, he would get malchus, right? But if you eat the yotzei, there's no malchus. So we see clearly in Rambam there's a difference, okay, between the two. Someone who eats the skin, bones, sinews, hooves, etc. of a non-kosher animal in the veil or treifa, even though it's not allowed to do so, such a person is exempt from receiving lashes. So therefore, there's a difference. On that basis, there's a difference between a yotzei and actually eating the meat of the animal. Okay? So Rav Aaron further notes that the prohibition of basar v'cholav, mixing meat, applies only to the parts of animal which are considered as basar, but does not apply to yotzei, and he proves it from another Rambam, right, which says later on that one does not violate the prohibition of cooking meat and milk if he cooks an animal's skin, sinews, bones or horns with milk. Okay, that's the Rambam, which is at the bottom of the page. If you look at the bottom of page 5, and Vasho Shlil Bukhalov Khaivakan Ochla Avalham Vasho Shalya or Arva Gidin Bat Somers Vikre Kanaim Tvalayan Harakim Bukhalov Potter, says the Rambam. It's Potter. The Chain Oichel Haichlan Potter. So it's different. We see that Yotzeh has a different halacha to those other things. Therefore, there's a basis there to make a difference. There's a clear basis to make a difference. Okay. Then there's another idea, okay, which goes into the mix. Gidulin. Okay. This comes from Kilayim. Okay, the idea of Kilayim. Kilayim, very difficult subject. Sorry? Gidulin. Page 6. Okay. So if you learn it in the category of Yotzeh, it seems relatively clear. It has to be from a kosher animal. Stem cell would have to be from a kosher animal. Question whether it would have to be shechted. If it would have to be shechted, that would defeat the whole purpose of it, as far as the industry is concerned, right? It would have to be shechted. You actually have to shecht every animal. Wouldn't defeat the purpose. Well, you have no. This is one of the things that's still being explored. How much can you extract and grow from one animal? So in the video that I've got, it's very interesting. It's the farm. There's a farm in Israel called Aleph Farms, okay? Which, typical name to use. Aleph Farms. Aleph Farms are one of the world leaders in this. And what they've done is they've got two fridges. One is called Gertrude and one is called Alberto. And these are actually the cells of two cows, which they're using to develop the meat. So they go to the fridge and they take out little dishes, which have got chemical dishes, which have got the cells in. And that's how they start each one with the process. Okay, with those cells. So the answer is yes, you would need less cows. You would certainly need less cows. Okay, but you would still need something. But if you had to have shechita, then it wouldn't help in relation to the issues of shechita or animal welfare issues. Yeah, sorry? See? Okay. Yeah. Okay. So the people that have done this, I must tell you, the people that have tasted it, said that it's good. Right? There's people that's good. There's a video, people there in Israel tasted it and it's good, and other in America have tasted it, it's good. So it's not the best of the best, but it's perfectly the kind of thing that we'd normally buy. You won't be able to tell the difference. Okay, let's get back to Gidulin. Okay, Gidulin. So Gidulin is a very interesting thing. So what's the halacha of Gidulin? So take a typical example, right? If an onion which has been planted in a vineyard, okay, which is against the halacha of Kilayim, and the vineyard is later taken away, the onion remains and continues to grow. The original part of the onion that grew in a prohibited state remains forbidden. Okay, it remains forbidden. Although we have thus far assumed that a stem cell will fall under the halakhic category of Yotzeh, it's not entirely clear this is the case. An alternative approach would be to review the artificial meat in the same way as Gidulin. Additional growth which are produced after it's removed from its forbidden state. The onion is forbidden due to Kilayim. Okay, that's forbidden due to Kilayim. But what comes afterwards? Okay, what about the new onions? That's about the third paragraph from the bottom. What about the new onions that grew from this onion after the grapevines were already removed? Based on the Shulchan Aruch, there's a Shulchan Aruch about Gidulin. There, I've got it there at the top, towards the top. It's a bit small, but there, I've got it. Okay. It says the Vilna Gaon rules that new onions which grew after the vineyard disappeared is not considered to be Kilayim. So therefore, if you were to use that as the example, it's different. Because then you've taken out the stem cells, you've produced the meat, and you've got something that's nothing to do with the actual meat that was originally there. Right? It's even further removed from this. Is there a difference? Because that is growing things, that things are grown in the ground, and there are two separate halachas to do with can you be medame zelazer? That's a question for Gedolim, for Poskim, whether you can be medame. Growing things that grow in the ground to things that grow in a living form of the animals, whether it's the same thing. Okay, but sorry? Yeah. Yeah, Shvius it stays off. Yeah, so you could go that way, Okay. Yeah? Okay. So what about the question of Eva Minachai? Somebody raised the question of Eva Minachai. Okay, so Eva Minachai is a quite difficult question because certainly not professing to be an expert on Eva Minachai, but one of the questions, just let me find it. One of the questions with Eva Minachai is the issue of the juice that comes out of it. Just one second, let me just find the Makar for it. I thought I did put it in. Just trying to find where it is. Eva Minachai, page 3. Okay, on page 3, going back to page 3, paragraph 6. Okay, so basically, Eber Menachai prohibits any limb or flesh from a live animal, no matter how small, and that the meat is not kosher. Is removing stem cells considered to be Eber Menachai? Okay, so there's this chazal. Was a chazal which explained that up to 40 days, the embryo is considered to be fluid, okay? Such an embryo contains many cells, stem cells, and yet is considered to be fluid. Some possibly have therefore taken the view that a cell taken from a cow similarly has the halakhic status of fluid and not of the animal. Okay, so if you were to do that, then that would obviously mean you'd have to take the stem cells from earlier on. Okay, which is still possible. The science is the same. Other poskim say no. That concept of maya ba'alma, is only really for human beings, and not for animals. So that's a machlokas in itself, whether it would be over minachai. That's also a machlokas in itself. Okay, let's just, I want to try and just share a couple of the other things with you. I want to try and share the Rav Chaim if I can. I hope I'm good enough to actually explain it. The Rav Chaim says, okay, so Rav Chaim says the following. So Rav Chaim in Macholas Asuras, it says the following. That we spoke about Rav Aaron Kotler's view that perhaps Yotzei are parav, and therefore, so that was what we said before from Rav Aaron Kotler. So possible to make a distinction as follows. All cases of yotzei, which are discussed in halacha, such as skin, bones, and hooves, which we said before, don't have any dimyun to the actual meat. They're completely different, hooves, right? Skin and bones. They're not the actual meat. And is therefore, you can understand what's behind what Rav Aaron Kotler is saying, what's being said in the Rambam. Therefore, they don't get malchus, okay? Because they're completely different. They're not called bossa. But artificial meat, and it's, use that word, is synthetic. It's not really. It's more than that, right? The word artificial implies, my kids call some of the meat that they have in the, you know, that pinky meat that they have, they call it plastic meat, because it looks like thin slices of plastic. It's not really artificial, it's just produced in a different way. Okay, so that's why I call it stem cell meat. So stem cell meat produced from stem cells does have the same physical qualities as and properties as natural meat. When you look at it, and if a chemist was to analyse it, it would find that it has the same properties. And therefore, this resemblance means that it should be treated as halakhic basar, not as, and therefore fleshy, which is based on a Rav Chaim. So the Rav Chaim, which says, an animal born, this is a translation, an animal born from a non-kosher species is one type of yotzei, where the new creature has the same status as the animal it emerged from, which is forbidden and fleshic, and hence one who eats it is subject to lashes. So he's not obviously speaking about stem cells. He's speaking about an animal born from a non-kosher species, the famous that famous Mishnah. Okay. However, milk and eggs, they are different, do not have the same status, because they are not, says Rav Chaim, she'ein boy rak yisur. No, that's the wrong line. Mishum de afakav de osim no Torah mikol makom hein meisura de yotzei min hatame ve'al kein ein boy malchus she'ein to yisuran machmas atzmon given to eino min bossa. It says eino min bossa. It's not a minbasa. So this could be different. This puts it back in the camp saying, even despite what Rav Aaron Kotler wrote and the debate about gelatin, this would be different. And this is in the end what Rav Osher Wise said. He said that when you paskin, he says, I've heard him speak a few times now, and when he paskins, you have to look at the reality. He says the reality of this is that it's, I think I wrote down what he said, the actual words that he said. The reality is that it is actually meat. It is actually, it looks like meat, right? As we look at it, as people will perceive it, right? So it looks like meat, and that you have to factor into that equation, which seems to be what is being said here in this higher. Okay. Oh, that's a good question. We didn't get onto that. Why is it different? Because it looks exactly the same. Okay. Maybe because para of milk is definitely para. There's an additional factor. It is no question whatsoever. Yeah. This is para of milk is just totally nothing, right? It's no milk. This has got a connection. It's got a connection. Yeah. So he also spoke about the salalta de doma, the concept of salalta de doma, which he spoke, and I didn't understand. I must say I didn't quite understand, because I don't want to say fully, because I don't understand the chemistry of it, but he spoke about the concept of salalta de dam, okay, which is a concept in kashrus, okay, and whether or not the redness of the blood and whether or not blood cells are equivalent to Salazar de Dam. That he spoke about that, but I didn't understand the chemical side of it, so I don't really exactly. That is a relevant consideration in his opinion. Now, what he didn't speak about was what you've just touched on now, which is the question of marrow science, right? Is there a question? Will there be a question of marrow science? Sorry.
Salted water and salted.
Yeah. So would it need cachering? No. There's no blood.
No blood.
There's no blood. It's a Matthias, there's no blood. How can you cachere it? What are you going to do with it? Soak it in salt for three, you know, what's it going to do? There's no blood there. That it comes out as a piece of meat ready to eat. Okay? So, you have a question of marrow sowing. So, look. Sorry? Yeah. Okay. So, those people remember, I'm too young to remember, but those people remember that when first pair of ice cream came into the tables, so there was a Passac that you had to leave the packet on the table to make sure that people were aware that it is that it came from a non-milky source. And once you did that, it was permitted to have it. So Maris iron is a very difficult. The Pri Chodosh says that there's no such thing. You can't make up your own Maris iron. Okay, marasayin has to come from Chazal. Okay, is there a marasayin? Ramosh's definition of marasayin on page 7. Okay, someone thinks I violated something. He thinks that someone inappropriately ate something which is not kosher. It is not included in something permitted that people mistakenly may think is forbidden due to the fact they don't know the halacha. Okay, so it could be that eventually, if this does come into fruition, there will be a marasayin, but there'll only be a marasayin if you're going to have it with meal. If you're just treating it as meat anyway, okay, and you've dealt with the other questions, then what's the problem? There isn't an issue of marasayin. Why do you have to worry about it? There'll only eventually be a very small marasayin issue that's involved, okay? I think, even if it comes up, if the end Passac, which I don't think it will be, hearing from Rosh Hawaz, I don't think the end Passac is going to be this is Parav, right? I think the end Passac is going to be that it's going to be Bosa, but they may permit it, they may permit the process, and no Shchita necessary, and so on, but I gut reaction, gut feeling is that to say that you'll actually allow it to be treated as meat, as Parav, would seem to me not to be appropriate. I don't think that's going to happen. Okay. So the cheeseburger thing. Yeah. All right, so those things. Now, just two other things that we'll finish off with. The first one is a machshava also about from the Nozer. In the story of Nozer, right, it says, Mikol Asher Yachem Micharatzame, I forget the exact passage, Hagefen, yeah. Yeah, anything that comes from the grape is considered to be, in the halachas of Nozer, actually as the grape, right? So Nozer can't drink anything which comes from the grape, right? Throw that into the equation. Is that part of it, right? That there, the extended process of the grape, or is that just the halacha for Nozer, right? Because of the necessity of the severity of the Issa, the Sefer HaChinuch speaks about that, that there has to be, so the Nozer should not have any contact with anything which could be considered to be part of grapes. Maybe that's a special halacha in Nozer, or maybe that's a general point we can take. So, a little bit of a conclusion, okay? Applying the principle of Hayotze Min Asa, right, would seem to lead to the following conclusions. A stem cell taken from a non-kosher animal would be considered non-kosher. That seems pretty sure. I think most will agree with that. You couldn't take it from a non-kosher animal. So that would mean that the stem cell production for kosher animals would have to be separated. Well, I don't know. You could have farms which just produce those stem cells, but it'd have to be some kind of. It couldn't be just meat. It'd have to be identified where that meat was from. Okay, and I guess that regulatory-wise, that would also be necessary as well. Second thing is a stem cell taken from an Avela, right, would be considered to be an Avela. I think that's also clear from what most people are saying, and would not be allowed to eat it. A stem cell taken from a live animal is a question. Basa menachai, eva menachai, or not? An open question. Is it considered to be milk and meat or parav? Gut reaction is it would be considered to be meat, okay? But the overall perspective is that if we were to launch this as a product, right, which I think is going to happen, there would be substantial a development of this because there's certainly a halachic ground. It's not asa, It's not a double us, it's just a question of finding out where it fits and how we're going to use it. And therefore the original reasons for having it, climate and avoiding the need for shechita, if in the end they rule that you don't have to have shechita, and even if they do, then it'll still be less. If this takes off the ground, it could be a completely different thing. So there are definitely areas where there won't be a major halachic problem. It'll be a question of halachic management rather than a question of issa. Except on the point, I think the meat, I think it will be considered to be meat. Okay, and on the back page, just want to have a look at it, you can see there, this is the advert for Aleph Farms, okay? Leading the slaughter-free meat revolution for a healthier world, welcome to Aleph Farms, okay? That's it. Jews are always at the forefront of business. You keep it, yeah, but just make sure you know.